We want to talk to you this morning about third-day believers. And I heard of a church a little while back that didn't believe in the resurrection. I thought, why seek ye the living among the dead? But let's turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 6. I want to talk to you about third-day believers today. We believe Jesus rose again on the third day. To those that believe that, believe he rose again the third day, you're a third-day believer. Praise God. The book of Hosea, chapter 6. Amen. Let's notice the word of God. Hosea 6 and 1. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Father, thank you for your scripture today, for the word of God that you've given to us. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit anoint your servant, all of us to hear your word. I pray that your will be done, your Holy Spirit speak to the heart of every person as only you can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Third-day believers, we are a church who believes that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he paid the price on the cross. Amen. He took the punishment, the judgment for our sins on the cross. Not only that, but he conquered death when he rose again from the dead. And the Bible tells us, Jesus, in his own words, says, I have the authority to lay down my life and have the authority to take it up again. He did both. They didn't take his life. He gave his life because he loved you, because he loved me. And he took it again. He rose again from the dead on the third day. And so, if you believe that, you're a third-day believer. And here in the book of Hosea, you may wonder, where is Hosea coming from? Let's look at it for just a moment. He was under the reign of not a great king, but Jeroboam II in northern Israel. And if you read throughout the book, you'll find that Israel is compared to an unfaithful wife. And this nation of Israel desperately needed revival. Amen. And so God uses this idea of unfaithfulness to bring Israel to its knees in repentance so that they would believe again and they'd get back in right step with God. And so we know today spiritual infidelity describes our nation. Desperately we need repentance and revival in our country. And we've so strongly departed from the God who made us strong and made us what we are here in the United States. And only a return to God who founded us will heal us and revive us and restore us. The resurrected Christ is able to bring new life to his people. And today as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead, his power to give eternal life to those who will turn to him is still available today. Praise the Lord. There's many things that need a resurrection today. Amen. There's people's marriages that need to be resurrected. And does your home or your marriage, your relationships, do they need a resurrection? Have you departed from your first love? From the Jesus who saved you? Have you turned away from God or have you backslidden or have you grown cold in your relationship with God? You need to return and God will have you back. I'm so glad that God will take us back. He will. Praise the Lord. So let's look at this for just a moment today. First of all, this was a work of restoration. And it was a work of God to try to, through the prophet, to try to bring this people back, to be, restore them to relationship with God. They had committed spiritual adultery in faithfulness to God. And by doing so, what they had done, they had abandoned the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments told them not to steal, kill, destroy. Ten Commandments told them not to commit adultery, not to murder, not to steal. Ten simple rules to live by that it would restore them or would make them a great nation. And so they needed to work this resurrection for they have forgotten what God said. And today, people have forgotten what God said. They've forgotten what right and wrong was. But I want to tell you, God's Word defines right and wrong to where you can't misunderstand it if you're willing to read His Word. And so we find that today the worship of the God of self is a problem in society today. The abandoning of one true God. And people depend on self. Self helps, self this, self that, and the God of self to solve everything. But let me ask you this. How has the God of self helped society today? The God of self can't distinguish between male and female, transgender, or no gender at all. Man, people are torn apart by sin. Man, you say, well, are you targeting certain people? No, I'm saying that's a problem we have today, is turning away from God and turning to self as God. I want to tell you something. Anything that takes God's place is idolatry. If something is more important to you than God, that becomes the God that you serve. So we want to serve the one true God. But you see today, people are torn apart by sin. In verse 1, he says, he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. And this speaks of a God who's wanting to take people who have been torn apart by sin and to remend them and put them back together again. And people are hurting today. Marriages are hurting in our country. Relationship of all kinds are hurting in our country today. Amen. When's the last time you've told your wife or your husband or your son or your daughter that you loved them, that you cared for them? My friend, you need to say that often. Not just say it, but mean it. But these people who'd once walked with God, they are hurting because they no longer live for God. In the book of Hosea here, the people that he's addressing. But they have turned aside to what will never bring answers to life's troubling problems. You know, friend, when people backslide, they basically turn back to things that didn't work to start with. And somehow, they think it'll work the second time around. It won't. You need to come back to God, serve Him. Amen. And today, people don't know who or what to believe. People are searching for answers to life, solutions to life's problems, economic problems, whatever the problems may be. But I want to tell you something, there is an answer. It's not in religion itself. Religion is simply man's search for God. It comes in relationship with God, and God has made it where we can have that. And it says here in the scripture, the prophet speaks to the people and says, let us return. Yes, he's torn, but he will heal us. You know, sometimes God allows things to happen to bring us back to him. And that's because he loves us. You say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? That's a question that's old as time. Amen, it happens. There are many strong Christians that bad things have happened to them. But God has brought them and encouraged them and revive them, renew them. There's people that have turned back to the world. There's some other answer, but it hadn't worked. But God will take them back, and God will heal them, and God will bind them up. And it's God's will to restore and renew and refresh everybody and give them the reason to live. Amen. Well, society may not have the answers to life's problems. They don't, but I want to know one who does. Jesus is the answer for the world today. There is none other. He's the way, the truth, and the life. My friend, you need him because he's a living God. Hallelujah. Says here in the scriptures, he is torn, but he will heal us. There's problems today that only God can heal. Amen. But all the news networks and all the things that have all the solutions to all the problems, so to speak, they've not really have a solution to any of the problems. They need God. When Jesus came to the people, just after 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, he came. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what Jesus came to do. That's what he's been doing. That's what he continues to do if people will turn to him, because Jesus comes to bind up the brokenhearted. There are people that are brokenhearted today over divorce, over remarriage. People are broken up today because they have lost hope in society or lost hope, period. But I want to tell you, Jesus come to put you back together. Sin may have torn you apart, but God is not torn apart. He's able to put things back. He's able to restore you and renew you and revive your relationship with him. God, have you been wrecked by sin? No peace, no hope you can see? Jesus said the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came to put things back together. Praise the Lord. And our God can heal marriages, can heal broken relationships. And he can answer questions that no one else can answer. And Jesus talked to a group of people one day and he says, "Come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11. And so we know that Jesus came to raise people up from spiritual death to spiritual life. Amen. And it's time for the church, it's time for people to return to the Lord, to put our full trust in Him again. Amen. And to a resurrected, a living Christ, to pray again, to read His Word again, to worship again. The Bible says, you know, we've used this for an excuse. Well, COVID's going around, so I don't need to be around people, so I'm not going to go to church. You know, God says to that, Hebrews 10:25, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching." We need to get together. We need to worship God. We need to exalt the Lamb of God, the risen Christ today. Hallelujah. And church, we are a people who have been raised from spiritual death to spiritual life by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. If Jesus had not rose again from the dead, he would have no authority, no power to give us life. But he does have the authority and the power. He conquered death at the cross. Amen. I want to tell you, death didn't have any power over him. He rose again from the dead, regardless of what the devil tried to do or wanted to do. Jesus rose again. He has the authority over death. He has authority over the sins that's killing people and driving them to eternity without God. He wants to restore and renew and bring people to a place of hope and faith in him. Okay, let's move on. Second of all, third day believers are a resurrected people. A people raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, it tells us there, and Paul preached, the Apostle Paul, he preached to people that were dead in trespasses and sins. They were dead spiritually, and he told them how to get back to life. And, you know, I heard one preacher say, "You know, my church is spiritually dead." I said, "Okay, man." And he said, "My church is going to heaven before yours." I said, "Really?" I said, "How do you say that?" He said, "The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first." Okay. But in Ephesians chapter 2, we find the church at Ephesus, they needed God. And God had done a wonderful work at Ephesus. And he had used people that were dead in sin to be saved and born again to receive the life of Christ in them so that they could live for God and have a reason to hope and a reason to live. And the Word of God says, "And he and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's the devil, "who now works in the sons of disobedience," that's sinners. And he says, "One time you had your conduct and the lust of your flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath." And if you stop right there, it's a pretty sad story. But it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy," man, "because of his great love wherewith he loved us." If God was not rich in mercy, if he didn't have great love, he would never have saved me or you or one sinner ever. But God is rich in mercy and is willing to give mercy to whosoever will. Amen. And God is willing to restore, revive, and renew. Praise God. God is able to do powerful things and mighty things. I don't care how deep into sin a person has gone. God can lift them up. God can restore them and renew them and deliver them from the clamp of sin on their life. But third day believers are people that are resurrected people. We were once sinners. We were once on the way away from God. But now, because of God's great mercy, we're living for God, and we're a resurrected people. We're third-day Christians because we believe Jesus rose again on the third day. Let me ask you, are you living for God now, or do you plan to in the future? There are many people that are dead right now who plan to give God an opportunity sometime in the future, but their future is over. Rejected God one too many times. Are you hurting today? Are you torn by war, home split up by divorce, by death, by tragedy, by shootings, by murders? We hear all these things today. You see, that's the best that sin can offer you. The wages of sin is death, and so the best deal that the devil can offer you is death and tragedy and to be eternally lost in a devil's hell. That's the best the devil can do. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. As a matter of fact, he conquered death at the cross. He said, I come to give you eternal life. Amen. The Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. And it's not encouraging, but I know that this old body that we live in and walk around in is going to die one day. But I want to tell you, that spirit man, the eternal part in us, is not going to die. The moment a person who dies in Christ, their spirit man leaves this body and is forever with Jesus. Praise God. And so we're third day believers. We believe that what Jesus did on the third day is for all of us. Amen. The resurrected Christ has a greater offer, an eternal offer. Praise God. The book of 1 Corinthians 15, that's the resurrection chapter. Last time I checked in my Bible, it was still there. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And so you see people without Christ that do not have eternal hope, they may do things to try to lift them up a little bit, party a little bit here and there, get some people around them, tell dirty jokes and laugh, and think this is life. It's not. It's not life. If in this life only, if that's all we can have, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we've all been most miserable. Because you see, when it comes to the time we will leave this world and we'll depart from this life, if you don't have Christ, you don't have nothing. You don't have anything. But I want to tell you, friend, I've talked to many people, a number of people on their deathbed, and if they knew Christ, you knew they knew Christ. And death and suffering when death happened to Christians, it happens to believers, it happens to unbelievers, and people die of disease and sickness, and people die of various things, but those who have Christ in their heart, they know at the end they're going to see Christ, they're going to see God, they're going to be with Him, amen, and so they can face death and hope, face death in eternity, knowing that they're going to be with Jesus forever, and God puts that eternal hope within them. Praise the Lord. And so, third-day believers have a living hope, a present hope, an eternal hope. Are we living with wonderful hope because of Jesus' resurrection and conquered death? Yes. You say, well, what about now? What about all that's going on in my life now? You say, well, you don't know, preacher. Yeah, I don't. No, I don't. But I know a God that does know. You say, well, you've never been through what I've been through. Maybe I haven't. You probably hadn't been through what I've been through. It's kind of something anybody can say. Jesus has been through it all. He's been through everything. He became us. He became humanity. He feels all your feelings. He knows all your feelings. He knows the things you struggle with. As a matter of fact, He is our high priest, the one that stands between God and man. The Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter 4, He says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. You know? He's not saying just, He said, I'm going to be there with all the sympathy seekers. He doesn't say that. But He says, I can be with you. He knows the struggles we have, the trials that we have. He understands everything because He's been in humanity. He lived in humanity, in human body. He lived. He didn't cease to be God, but He was fully Son of God, but fully human as well, Son of Man. Amen. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He never failed. And it says, there, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You need grace to help in time of need. You say, well, I don't need that grace. Yes, you do. You'll be in a time of need in your life when there's no other answer. And you need God then, and you need God now. Praise the Lord. And so there is tribulation, there is trial in this life. It will happen even to believer and unbeliever. But Jesus said, John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace." In this world you will have tribulation. That's a promise. But it says, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." My friend, if you're a third day believer, yes, it's certain that you will go through tribulation things. I'm not talking about the great tribulation. I'm talking about just trials of your faith. You will have tribulation, but Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." There's never anything that Jesus went through that he didn't overcome. He overcame everything. He even overcame death. He overcame disease, sickness, and infirmity. Amen. He never was sick or infirm, but he was a son of God. He healed many people that were and still heals people today. Many of you and I are living testimonies that God does still heal people. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus overcame all sinful temptations. He overcame all temptations. He overcame death. He overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil. My friend, with his power and his grace, you can overcome too. Amen. He meant for you to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. But you need his help. Last of all, what does the third day signify? Here in the scriptures, you know, the prophet couldn't have been referring to anything else. He mentions 2 days after which life should be given and a third day on which the resurrection should take place. What else can this be than the 2 days in which the body of Christ lay in the tomb and the third day which he rose again and he became the resurrection and the life? As a matter of fact, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Men die physically, yes, but not spiritually. Praise God. And so what does the third day signify? It signifies that we're on our way to eternal glory. Jesus conquered man's greatest fear, and that is death and the end of life. People have done everything they can to try to prevent life, prevent death, and to make life lasts just a little bit longer. There are people that come up with formulas and think that they, somehow or another, we're going to conquer death and make man live for a few hundred more years. Feel blessed if you made it for 100 instead of a few hundred. I talked to a man one time. He said, "I'm sure that one of these days they'll come up with a formula of some kind that'll make people live for 200 or 300 years. I hadn't seen him since. But I'm not looking for a formula that will make me live or exist longer in this physical body. But I tell you one thing, Jesus died and rose again from the dead and gives eternal life. And the Bible says, and Paul says, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Once a spirit man leaves this body, if you're born again of God's Spirit, you're one of God's children. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. God and that spiritual body lives within inside of you. That spiritual body departs and be with, ends with Jesus the moment you die in Christ. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus conquered man's greatest fear, that was death. Man's horror is no hope, no love, no future, nothing better than to be forever lost. You don't want to be lost. Man. When a person departs this world without God, lost will take on a new meaning. Lost from hope, lost from help. Lost from there ever being anything but miserably, inconsiderably, and eternally lost. You don't want to be lost. But when Jesus comes to your heart, you're not lost, you're found. You belong to Him. Praise God. And this hope is only in this life. In this life we have hope only. That's it. Because you see what happens in this life is, this is not a revelation really. It happens all the time. If your hope is only in this life, you get old. Isn't that encouraging? And your physical body gets weaker, and you're not able to do exactly the things you used to do. And that's discouraging. And after a while, and if you've got hope only in this life, you get old and creaky and cranky. And I've been in the church with a few people that are more cranktified than sanctified. And your body wears out. But I remember an old preacher long years ago. He was old, walked up the platform. He was supposed to preach. He couldn't make it up the steps. Somebody else helped him make up the steps. He got to the pulpit, and he was physically gone. But he opened his Bible and began to preach the Word of God and hope. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon him. He was able to give a message of hope and truth and love to people. My friend, the body wears out, but God doesn't wear out. And he rose again from the dead to give a glorified body to everyone that is born again of God's Spirit. Amen. You enter eternal life. There won't be an ache. There won't be a pain. There won't be anything. There's no suffering, sorrow, sickness, or death in the heaven that we're going to. He come to give us eternal life. You don't want to leave this world without it. Hallelujah. He gives it when you're saved. You're given the gift of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Does the resurrection give hope to mankind? Yes. It's the only hope there is. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11 is a verse that we probably you ought to memorize this one. Amen. Probably you ought to memorize this, a whole book. You know, it's only 66 books, 1,189 chapters. That's all. Great book. But the Word of God says, Jeremiah 29:11, I know, this is God speaking to the prophet here. He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. God is not looking back to say, well, I wonder how I can get even with this guy or this girl, what she's done, what they've done. No. God says, I think thoughts of peace towards you and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you hope. God says that through the prophet Jeremiah, and he says it to you this morning. The thoughts that God has for you, he wants you to have peace about where you are now. Maybe not the way you're living now, but he wants you to have peace concerning where you're going forever, because everybody's going either to heaven or hell forever. And so we want it to be heaven. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you hope. My friend, I'm glad that we've got a future. We've got something to live for, a reason to live for. My friend, I'm not looking for this world to get better. Don't get me wrong, I believe America should make right decisions, but you see, how much time did Jesus spend on politics? None. He spent his time on getting people clean on the inside and faith in one true God. Amen. I'm not saying you shouldn't vote. You should vote. You should vote. We've been given that opportunity. You should vote. You should be in that vault. Read up on who's standing for what. You know, pick somebody at least stand that believes that God is in charge. But I'm not going to preach a political sermon. There is one. I'm going to tell you that just stay close to God. This third day believers are given this because Jesus is resurrected. Mary and Martha were sad because their brother Lazarus had died. And Lazarus was dead. And he had been in the grave for 4 days by the time Jesus got there. Because in the Jewish belief at that time, they believed that the spirit body hung around the grave for three days and could possibly bring the person back to life. So Jesus didn't come to the fourth day, so there wouldn't be any question. We know that Jesus came into Lazarus' grave and he spoke words. And Mary and Martha said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, well, he'll rise again in the resurrection. And they said, well, Lord, we believe in the resurrection. And Jesus spoke the word to them and said, I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus called forth Lazarus by name, and he came out of the grave. He'd been dead 4 days. He came out, resurrected from the dead. Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus has the authority to give life to whosoever will. Amen. And so he's done that. He does that. And so, if you're a third day believer, believe that Jesus rose again on the third day, therefore he's able to give life to whosoever will today. Amen. Praise God.